Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Good to be back again online as we enter into this March month, and we're trusting God for even more, that God's faithfulness will be seen, that we'll enjoy intimacy with Him while seeing answers to prayer. Hallelujah. Well, let's worship Him who's worthy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us. Blessed Redeemer, Living Word, O Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, is with us, blessed Redeemer, Living Word. Hallelujah. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Hallelujah. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name. Oh, mangiste prelivento papara ziketel mosuto roboshiketelemi. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Blessed be the name of the living God. Blessed be the name of the living God. We worship you. Sembroli kamanta lakra sipa lakashete. Oh, Holy One. Repedilo jembre lifa fala genti. We worship you, we worship you. Masi prelvete coluso. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Sepra makadanjdi. Gromo zuto riba balma shabare kasuture semetevele. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Sepra makal barakasataya. We worship you, we worship you. Grezili krotupo frefefildi. Liru guda gada barazika rasakete leposho. Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Jepa barakala pristi. Oh, we worship you. Sivaramakal mitorushundo. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Zamaruto prosta vede lema. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for sending the precious Holy Spirit to indwell us, and that He's the one that's here today on the earth with us. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Thank you for honoring and glorifying Jesus. We worship you for unveiling Him to us, Lord. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We receive from your benefits, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, as we've been observing, we have been praying certain prayers and then taking from there our text and so on. So let's go to the Philippian prayer in chapter 1. And notice that these prayers were prayed for the church, for the saints. And Paul did say that on every remembrance of them, he would constantly be praying. Thank God for such watchful, sober-minded prayer. And he goes on with a very interesting heart felt for this church that was very different from the rest, because they stayed quite true along with the Thessalonians to be that special group of people. And so we notice here the prayer in verse 9. In this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may prove things that are excellent. Verse 10 says that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Hallelujah. And after you prayed, you can put the name of Jesus, because we are asking the prayer not in any good work we have done, but in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So we have here a couple of thoughts that God wants us to increase in love, at the same time being able to do it within certain boundaries, certain areas where we draw lines, and then we continue to move in a direction of wanting to be like Him, the Lord Jesus, excellent, highest motives and values, being sincere and not offended and causing others to be offended, and fruits of righteousness coming forth, hallelujah, which are by Him working in us. It is Him that's at work in us. He's the one working in us both to will and do His good pleasure. And so you could see that we need to lean back on these kind of prayer thoughts also. And in that same vein, in verse 15, he says, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. So there is this variety of reasons why folks can also preach. 16, the one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. And of course, he says, bottom line is that anyway Christ is preached. Hallelujah. So you can see where this prayer has come into his thinking, that yes, we are supposed to preach, we're supposed to do things for Christ in His name, but there should be some boundaries, some lines that we draw to differentiate things. Amen. More of a understanding and depth to our love, and not just what they call sloppy agape. Amen. Not just rampant like that. And it has lines, it has boundaries. Amen. So let's hear that prayer in Philippians chapter 1, also in Kannada, from verse 9 to 11.
Nimma preetiyu hechutta hechutta neevu jnana mattu purna vivekagalinda koodidavaragirabekentalu uttama karyagalu yavavendu neevu vivechisuvavaragabekentalu kristana dinadavarege neevu saralaragiyu nirmalaragiyu irabekentalu ಯೇಸು ಕ್ರಿಸ್ತನ ಮೂಲಕ ನೀತಿ ಎಂಬ ಫಲಗಳಿಂದ ತುಂಬಿದವರಾಗಿ ದೇವರಿಗೆ ಮಹಿಮೆಯನ್ನು ಸ್ತೋತ್ರವನ್ನು ತರುವವರಾಗಿರಬೇಕೆಂತಲೂ ಪ್ರಾರ್ಥಿಸುತ್ತೇನೆ.
So we have to be able to go a little further and see that it is possible to communicate that gospel, the will of God, and all of that, but it is possible to do it from different motives and different reasons. And we want to stay in a place where this prayer is answered, that our motives and reasons are excellent. They are beyond reproach and they are of a standard that God gives us. Amen. And so the gospel will win souls anytime, because it is the power of God unto salvation. And, you know, whoever it is that is preaching it, it would produce the results because it is the gospel. And so people get shocked sometimes to see Oh, wow. Do you know that guy is like this, he's like that? And have you heard how he lives and the language he uses? But look at what happens. People get saved, you know, so on. And this is the reason, because it is the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's a different thing. The person and the life of the individual preacher may have questions in it. Amen. May be questionable. But that's a different thing. And God can use even a donkey. Hallelujah. And so he doesn't wait for us to become all mature and grown up before he uses the gospel through our lips and, you know, win souls and so on. Thank God he's tolerant and patient also. But you should see that there is a responsibility, therefore, as we grow, to start thinking more clearly, you know, and not just be so totally gullible all the time. Amen? And so all of these thoughts are in the prayer there that we approve and we give that place to be able to judge and give the true value to certain things and so forth. Praise God, recognizing that there is a certain boundary in all of this. Amen? Praise God. So whatever the reason for preaching may be, the truth is that God will judge all of that. Amen? People get saved and we believers will get our rewards accordingly because God sees our works of what sort it is. Amen. We are not judged. Notice that our works are judged. Hallelujah. And that means a salvation is a gift that you did not earn. I did not earn. It was based on Jesus' obedience and love for God and for us. And so we simply are recipients of the gospel, the good news. We believed in the death, the burial, resurrection, ascension, and seating of Jesus at the right hand of God. All we could do was accept that it was done for us. Hallelujah. That he was thinking about us. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Notice that those are people, not the systems of the world, which can be contrary and stifling to God's plan. Praise God. But the people. So God loves people. And that is who he is. Amen. And so the closer we get to being like him, the more we think that way. And we want to be able to, therefore, separate things in the love of God so that we can represent his thinking and his life more and more. But rather than just get discouraged at various motives for preaching, we can pray that the motives become excellent. Amen. The motives become purer and that the fruit of righteousness comes out in a better way. Hallelujah. So these prayers are for us and for each other, for the church. Praise God. Hallelujah. So especially in the last days, these kind of motives may be even more negative. They may not be entirely positive. But notwithstanding, we will see people getting saved by that gospel. Hallelujah. People getting saved because God loves people. Hallelujah. But the one who's delivering the message eventually will have to see fruit. And some will endure, some may not endure. Praise God. Some will be burnt up. But the person himself will be saved. Hallelujah. And ultimately that's what matters, that we are at home with our Father, enjoying eternity. Hallelujah. With the one that we have loved and believed in. Praise God. So it's important to see the context and not be emotionally driven all the time, even though we are emotional beings. Hallelujah. Let's go to the book of James also, and there you notice he's the pastor of the church at Jerusalem, and he's a good man, and he's not quiet. He's saying things plainly, even though he's under pressure. And so he had to sometimes say things, and what he said seemed to be stronger than how he stood sometimes. Amen. Sometimes he would take sides with the legalist people, but he would speak openly. So everyone has challenges. Amen. And praise God. So do we. Hallelujah. So we need these prayers, and we need these desires to rise up in prayer towards the throne so that it is answered. Amen. And that we choose the things that are excellent, of highest value, things that are of God's value. Amen. Sublime, like Him, not just low-level thinking and living. Praise God. So it's a desire for all of us to want to live at a higher level. Amen. Back in James chapter 1, we notice here, verse 21, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls." Now just imagine that kind of language. This means that all of these things, which is superfluous, overflowing, rampant, naughty, filthy, is there in the believer and has to be removed in order to receive the word of God properly. You know? Hallelujah. And no matter how saintly we are, it's in our spirit, that sainthood. Amen. Or that being like Christ. The rest is basically filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, all of those things, which have to be separated. Hallelujah. In order to receive the word of God with meekness. That means there's opposite to those attitudes. Amen. We may have a part of us that is not meek, that is lofty, proud, lifted up, moved by various other reasons. Amen. But in order for us to receive the word of God properly, God's way, certain things have to be removed first. We have to lay aside, lay apart, and then we receive the word of God, which has the power to save our souls. Our spirit is wonderful, is just as he is today in this world, but our souls are a work in progress. Amen. And it is based on laying certain things aside and then humbling oneself, or, you know, taking his yoke. He said, "I am meek and lowly of heart. Come, learn of me." There is a certain way in which Jesus, though he was the Son of God, learned obedience, learned how to submit himself, amen, while he was on the earth as the second person of the Trinity, the Word becoming flesh. Hallelujah. And so we cannot avoid that. We are walking in his path. And so we receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. Praise God. It has the power to save once we are able to separate what has to be separated. And then the power of the word will be powerful enough to have a soul or thinking, emotions, imagination, deep thoughts, and choices that will actually be, in quote, saved choices, as though one were saved. Amen. And so it goes on to say, verse 22, after having received the word, 22 says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Interesting. After all of that laying aside and receiving the word, which has the power to save the soul, notice verse 22, one is now called to do the word. In other words, the power comes into operation only when one begins to do the Word of God. Otherwise, it is sort of deceiving to think that you heard it and you have received it, but on the truth and external lifestyle, the power has been stifled because there's been no action on the Word of God. Amen. And one has been self-deluded, self-deceived. Hallelujah. 23 continues, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He beholdeth himself, goeth his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." Amen. So the memory and the vision that we get from the Word of God is important. Hallelujah. For that to stay with us and not be forgotten, we'll have to act on the Word. Otherwise, no matter how, in quote, immersed we have been in the Word, if we're not going to act on the Word of God, we're just fooling ourselves. The power has been stifled, has been hindered. But, verse 25, "Whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein," notice that, the power of continuing, "he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Praise God. So there is the clear laid out truth here. And we must appreciate that this comes from God, from His Spirit, from His mind. This is the way He sees us. We're beginning to appreciate the way God sees things. We are beginning to understand Him in greater depth. And it's affecting our discernment or our judgment, the way we judge things, the way we see things also. And so we have this part of us that is quite, in quote, filthy. And full of superfluity of naughtiness that is with us, you know. And it has to be laid aside in order to receive the engrafted Word of God, which is in quote from another world altogether, from the spirit world. And that has to be received, and it cannot be fully accomplished without doing the Word, acting on the Word. Hallelujah. So it's all complete there, and then the blessing is manifested because one looks within that perfect law of liberty and then continues in it, acting on it, not forgetting it, but keeping it in the memory, hiding it, watching over it, giving it that place, and then we begin to act and do it. And then the blessing or the benefit is seen in everything we do. All of this is written so clearly there. Praise God. Let's see if we can hear in Canada also from verse 21 all the way to 23.
ಆದಕಾರಣ ಎಲ್ಲಾ ಮಲಿನತೆಯನ್ನು ಎಲ್ಲಾ ದುಷ್ಟತನವನ್ನು ತೆಗೆದುಹಾಕಿ ಒಳಗೆ ಬೇರೂರಿರುವ ವಾಕ್ಯಕ್ಕೆ ನಮ್ರತೆಯಿಂದ ಎಡೆಕೊಡಿರಿ ಅದು ನಿಮ್ಮ ಆತ್ಮಗಳನ್ನು ರಕ್ಷಿಸುವುದಕ್ಕೆ ಸಾಮರ್ಥ್ಯವುಳ್ಳದ್ದಾಗಿದೆ ನೀವು ವಾಕ್ಯದ ಪ್ರಕಾರ ನಡೆಯುವವರಾಗಿರ್ರಿ ಅದನ್ನು ಕೇಳುವವರು ಮಾತ್ರವೇ ಆಗಿದ್ದು ನಿಮ್ಮನ್ನು ನೀವೇ ಮೋಸಗೊಳಿಸಬೇಡಿರಿ ಯಾವನಾದರೂ ವಾಕ್ಯವನ್ನು ಕೇಳುವವನಾಗಿದ್ದು ಅದರ ಪ್ರಕಾರ ನಡೆಯದಿದ್ದರೆ ಅವನು ಕನ್ನಡಿಯಲ್ಲಿ ತನ್ನ ಹುಟ್ಟು ಮುಖವನ್ನು ನೋಡಿದ ಮನುಷ್ಯನಂತಿರುವನು.
Praise God. So the Bible is the only mirror in which you see somebody else's image. You see Jesus' image there. Hallelujah. And that is the image of the one inside us. Our spirits are just as He is. In this world right now, today, just as He is, so are we in this world. And that's what's supposed to give us boldness, because we have chosen to accept and let that be our final authority. Amen. Praise God. So there is all of this wonderful thinking here, but you can see the reason for one trusting in himself is very low and shallow. Amen. Because there's so much going on in the flesh and in the nature of man here. I like the BBE version of verse 21. For this reason, putting away all dirty behavior and overweight of evil, take into your souls without pride the word which is being planted there, is able to give you salvation. Praise God. Be doers of the word and not only hearers, blinding yourself with false ideas. Praise God. All kinds of thoughts are there. Easy English. So stop doing and stop saying evil things. God has put his word in your minds and it can save your souls. So believe what it says. Do not only listen to the word of God. Do what it says too. If you do not, you'll be making a mistake. You'll be as a man who sees his face in a mirror. This man looks at himself, then he goes away and immediately forgets what he's like. So in that mirror, we have the image of the Lord Jesus. We see it in different levels of revelation. But eventually we will see him as he is. And then we begin to hold on to that, guard that image so fervently, and it rises up above everything else in our lives and begins to be the number one reason for everything. Hallelujah. Amen. And that has become our greatest treasure. That has become what we keep and long for and value most. Hallelujah. And so that won't be taken away from us. Other things may suffer loss, and there may be no proof in eternity of those things. But the level to which the word rose up will be proven in eternity. Hallelujah. Amen. So we don't want to feel that, in the end, after all the smoke cleared, this was all I got. Amen. We don't want to be deceived, but we want to be able to see with much clarity what we have, actually. And not to think we have done so greatly and then find out that, you know, we didn't really achieve. Amen. All of these prayers are therefore directed to a higher place of excellence. Amen. Where we want to have the excellence that God has planned for us. Amen. Glory to God. So let's go on from there. And let's look at that 22nd verse. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. The word doer there is in the original language is supposed to be a word poetis, which means performer, like from the word poem. Amen. So we are performers. Hallelujah. And we have to get used to that idea that we are performing, we are acting. Hallelujah. And that is going to release benefits into our lives. So don't feel bad that you are just performing and you are not really feeling it and so on. Amen. Some people say if you feel like not singing, don't sing. If you feel like not lifting up your hands, don't lift up your hands. If you feel like you should not keep standing, like, just sit down. You know, I've heard all of these things because they feel somehow that, you know, you got into a place of works. Amen. That's all works. It's not grace. Amen. But you can see from these words plainly written that there are works. Hallelujah. There is an action. There is some doing. There's some performing. Otherwise, we ourselves are being led away by all other superfluity of naughtiness and filthiness and things that are contrary to God's will. Hallelujah. Amen. So we're here to be performing. We are performers. Amen. And so the word begins to dominate everything else. And we humble ourselves. And we become more and more submissive to God's word. Hallelujah. And if God said it, we believe it, and that settles it. So we are given this royal script that the king himself used. And we are told to see him, because that is the image of our born-again spirit. We are just as he is. But in order to enjoy the benefit of that wonderful life, we may have to put away some things, lay aside some things, which the Bible is not mincing words about them. They are superfluously naughty, filthy, and so on. Praise God. And so let's not kid ourselves. There's a part of us that the Bible says is not very encouraging. Praise God. It's going to stand against the will of God. It's going to challenge the word of God. And it has to be laid aside and cut through to reach the core of the matter where the engrafted word is received. And then it's acted upon, performed, and then we see the benefit of it, that our blessings and our deeds match. Praise God. Hallelujah. All of these things are written in the book of James. Thank you, Jesus. So don't forget, we are called to perform. Somebody says, you're just performing. You become just a performer. Well, that's supposed to be positive. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Because the man on the inside is like Jesus, 100%. But the man on the outside has to be driven into performing it. Amen. Hallelujah. And it comes because of the rampant growth of the Word of God inside the soul. And the soul is now accepting the saved life, and it is affecting the man on the outside. Hallelujah. But that's, you know, not going to stop you from preaching simply because you have not arrived at that place where you're 100%. We are definitely this side of heaven. We are encouraged to go forward even though we're not perfect. Amen. Not even Paul was perfect. He said he had not arrived, but he was on the way. He was making all the moves to press toward the mark of the high calling, the heavenly calling in Christ Jesus. So this prayer and these kind of thoughts are to help us not be disappointed and discouraged in our pursuit, but to continue moving forward. Hallelujah. So that works of righteousness are produced which endure even for all eternity. Hallelujah. So you can see there's a man holding on to these prayers. There's a person grabbing on to these prayers and asking for the power of God in that prayer to bring these things to pass. It's not just some words written on a page. Amen. But we have to act on the word. We have to perform what we are hearing, what we are receiving. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Sometimes people say, you know, I'm just, you know, walking according to Jesus. Love the Lord. And love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. And so I just check and see. Do I love myself? So I've got to love myself also. And that's true. Praise God. But love your neighbor as yourself. Yes. But you'll notice that all of those things were written even to a group of people who did not have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit tabernacled in us. One. Two, they were not endued in their spirit with the life and nature of God. They did not have the volume of the book given to them. It was, you know, Torah or word read by priests. It was in short supply. Not everybody had it, you know. And so they had to rely on somebody else reading these things to them. Then eventually they started seeing written epistles, and they would be read to a group of people. But then we are living in a place where everybody has different versions of these letters and the whole volume is everywhere. Amen. And so you can tell that there is more required. Amen. And there's a development that's taking place where you don't just love the Lord and your neighbor as yourself, but you're actually asked to esteem your neighbor better than yourself. Amen. That's kind of interesting. That's a new wrinkle in our thinking. Praise God. And sometimes people just discount that. But it's written. It's New Testament thinking. So the Word of God ascends to a place where we are now so much more like Him. And we are considered as He is in our thinking, and we are willing to consider others above ourselves. Amen. The self-life is sort of taken a shot and stifled and put in the background, and others are rising up above us in our thinking. Amen. So all of that is because we have been equipped. We're not ill-equipped, we are well-equipped. God has equipped us with Himself working in us, both to will and do His good pleasure. And He began the good work in us, and His Spirit is in us, and His Word has been given to us, which must be received and acted upon. And then we will begin to see that the demands of the new covenant believer are to consider others, esteem others even higher than ourselves. Wow, praise God, that's a high target to shoot for, amen, in a world that is driven simply by self-gratification. Amen. So let's look at a thought or two like that. We have in Philippians again. And there in the second chapter, we are encouraged to think like this, that the very mind of Christ has been given to us. Amen. Notice how it starts. Verse 1, Philippians chapter 2, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Amen. So this is a possibility. It's not just something that we can just read and be happy to read it. But we can actually have this kind of mind, and we can actually start to agree and be of one accord on these things. Amen. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Praise God. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. I mean, there it is written very plainly in verse 3. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Hallelujah. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Observe here that this is the very mind that Jesus was operating with. Amen. Now our spirit is just like Him, as He is in this world today. But the mind is where these adjustments are being made. And so gradually we are brought to a place where we enjoy the true honor of God, and we are seeing it in our own lives, and we're saying, wow, finally I see. We ought to be like this. We ought to live like this. And you begin to actually love yourself properly. Amen. The motives for yourself have become more and more pure and more clear. You are not just caught up in fleshly living. You're beginning to honor yourself more as though God created you, not like an animal. You know, you are in His class of being. You are beginning to encourage the new life, new living. Amen. And then as time goes, you begin to see, you begin to value the other now. Amen. In higher and more clearer dimensions, as though they were, in quote, better better than ourselves. Wow. It is a big deal to esteem others better than ourselves. Amen. Not the same as ourselves, but better than ourselves. Hallelujah. That is definitely progression. Amen. And so in our natural thinking and worldly thinking and fleshly thinking, we seem to be losing. Amen. And so this is not even thought upon. This is just dumped at the side and is left for somebody else. Amen. And that's why sometimes it may sound like bad news. Oh, what about, you know, me? Hallelujah. Now you're preaching about letting others become more important than yourself. What is this? All you talk about is bad news. Amen. No, it's not. But it has to be stated that this is how God thinks, this is how Jesus thought, and we are supposed to think like Him. And there is no doubt about the fact that these kind of values are eternal. Amen. And they have the highest and most excellent place in God. And so we need to begin to encourage such thinking and slowly ourselves come off the throne. And our motivation for everything is Jesus and others. Praise God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Something to think about. Amen. And begin to perform. No matter how slowly, we must begin to perform it. Because that is where we are fulfilling His joy. Amen. We're actually making Him joyful. Now don't get me wrong. He was pleased with you ages ago when you accepted Jesus. That what you did not pay for, what you could never earn, what satisfied His heart, His own Son given for you, you accepted by faith. Amen. And He was happy with that. Amen. He was finally satisfied that you have accepted what He gave freely. Amen. And God is excited about that. Hallelujah. But our response is different. Amen. God has done all of these things and He's happy and excited about those kind of things that we have received His Son. Amen. Now comes our response. Now it points to us. How do you measure your response to God? Amen. Hallelujah. For what God has shown and given. Amen. That is a different thing altogether. Amen. God has not changed in His love and value for us. Just because we got saved, it didn't stop there. He still loves us. Amen. If He loved us when we were yet sinners, how much more when we are sons? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we were enemies, He gave His life for us. How about when we accepted Him? Amen. We are in His family and He's better than any natural father. This is, however, our response, which He gives us crowns for. Amen. He celebrates us for eternity. Amen. So it is not, you know, to kind of earn His love or earn His satisfaction, but it's to earn eternal honor, excellence, shining, glory, forever and ever. That's what we are looking for. Amen. But because of our low levels of worldly upbringing, and parenting and all of that, we see any adjustment to be disfavor. Amen. Hallelujah. And that is portrayed constantly. However, you know, the mature and the ones who desire to grow will start to think more. It's got to be true. Yes, this is the way it is. It sounds like Jesus. Hallelujah. That we are now like Him. This is His mind. I see. He did not grasp for position and, you know, stay on the throne there. He came down for me. Wow. He considered me rather than himself and laid himself, you know, and gave himself. And so the idea of having more value for the other person than yourself starts to come. And those are the first steps of maturity. Amen. Hallelujah. And anytime you agree with God, when you walk like He walked, there's always going to be benefits. Amen. Hallelujah. But your soul may cry out, your flesh which has superfluity of naughtiness and all of that filthiness may scream and cry every step of the way. Amen. But it has to be changed. And it has to start cheering us on. Amen. Which is going to take time for your soul to finally say, yes, I agree with you. You're doing the right thing. You're considering others above. Amen. And you can get weary in well-doing because of the way we are built. After the fall, that's how it has become. You get weary in well-doing and you become energized at evil-doing. Have you noticed that? You just want more of the evil, more of the evil, more of the evil. And then you can get caught and be in bondage and be in a cell of your own making. Amen. And the devil can get involved and you can actually be in bondage to satanic strongholds. Praise God. But in order to do well, you can be weary because it goes against the external nature. It bears witness with our spirit that it is true, that this is the way to go, but our flesh is going to kick against it. And so if we're going to be like everybody else and go with what we feel, we may not approve of these things. We may choose to retire in the land of selfishness. Hallelujah. And we're saved, but that's about it. Rest of our life was just self. And so we make it to heaven, no doubt. Praise God, because it was purchased by Jesus. It was a gift that God gave to us. Salvation and heaven are a gift we don't earn. But the glories of eternity, forever and ever, which we should be enjoying with Him, we may not really have that place. We may actually feel ashamed. Praise God. Let's go to 1 John. We'll be back in Philippians. 1 John chapter 2. Or rather, sorry, 1 John chapter 2, yes. Glory to God. Observe there something at the very last couple of verses, 28. Now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Why should you be ashamed? You're going to heaven. Jesus has come. Glory to God. And you're going. Should there be any shame there? What do you think that shame is about? That shame is some regrets. Oh, wow. I could have done this better. Hallelujah. Amen. You can have confidence that, yes, I did what I was supposed to do. Amen. I did what I was supposed to do. I'm not ashamed. Amen. Praise God. So this is what we are talking about. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We don't want to have any shadow of shame about that day. That when He comes, we'll be full of confidence. Yay! I did everything I ought to do. I lived the full life. Amen. The Christ life. I lived the life of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we don't want to be, you know, carrying any regret that day. Amen. It's a real day and it's coming. And that's why maybe we are beginning to study such thoughts again. Amen. Because we have to remember these things. It must be brought back to our memory. And it may sound like bad news. But we are not here just to please man. We're here to eventually stand before Jesus at his throne and receive the benefit of obedience to him. Hallelujah. The Message Bible says about verse 28, "And now, children, stay with Christ, live deeply in Christ. Then we'll be ready for him when he appears, ready to receive him with open arms, with no cause for red-faced guilt or lame excuses when he arrives." Amen. No blushing. Oh, man. I lived for myself. I lived entirely just one-sided. Just me, myself, and I. Amen. That's a thought. And I know none of us, you know, achieved the fullness of all of that. But at least we will say, I knew it, I heard it, I received it, I acted on it, praise God. And there he's come. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's go back to Philippians chapter 2 now and see if we can read from a previous verse. I think from verse 2. Fulfill my joy all the way through to verse 5 in Kannada.
ಐಕ್ಯಮತ್ಯವುಳ್ಳವರಾಗಿದ್ದು ನನ್ನ ಸಂತೋಷವನ್ನು ಪರಿಪೂರ್ಣ ಮಾಡಿರಿ ನಿಮ್ಮೆಲ್ಲರಲ್ಲಿ ಒಂದೇ ಪ್ರೀತಿ ಇರಲಿ ಅನ್ಯೋನ್ಯತೆಯುಳ್ಳವರು ಒಂದೇ ಮನಸ್ಸಿನವರೂ ಆಗಿರ್ರಿ ಕಲಹದಿಂದಾಗಲಿ ಒಣ ಹೆಮ್ಮೆಯಿಂದಾಗಲಿ ಯಾವುದನ್ನೂ ಮಾಡದೆ ಪ್ರತಿಯೊಬ್ಬನು ದೀನ ಮನಸ್ಸಿನಿಂದ ಬೇರೆಯವರನ್ನು ತನಗಿಂತಲೂ ಶ್ರೇಷ್ಠರೆಂದು ಎಣಿಸಲಿ ಪ್ರತಿಯೊಬ್ಬನು ಸ್ವಹಿತವನ್ನು ಮಾತ್ರ ನೋಡದೆ ಪರಹಿತವನ್ನು ಸಹ ನೋಡಲಿ
Praise God. So for instance, prophesy. What do you want to be prophesied? What have you been waiting to hear? That you got something for yourself again. And you got another thing for yourself again. Then what? Yeah, that's fine. That's all good. But if it's not directed towards somebody else, but just yourself, and in fact, esteeming the other person even higher than yourself, it may not be a happy time when Jesus appears the way it could be if you knew that you acted on the word. Amen. You are on the way to heaven, praise God. How many of you know there are many believers in heaven right now who are like surprised that they reached there? They didn't know that heaven was a gift. They thought that they were doing all these so-called good things just to appear in heaven. But then they didn't realize the power of that confession, that if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and you made that confession and you called on the name of the Lord Jesus, you would be saved and you would not be, in quote, ashamed of what you have believed concerning salvation. That the Lord is rich to all those that call upon him. Amen. That whosoever believes in him would not be ashamed. Then what is the meaning of this verse? Praise God that you are ashamed at his coming. See, so you're not ashamed about what you believed in salvation. Well, go read that. Praise God. But you're ashamed that you could have done a better job. Yes. Hallelujah. Go to Romans chapter 10 and notice verse 11. For the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. This whole 10th chapter is about salvation, isn't it? For there is no difference, verse 12, between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Here he's saying that you don't have to be, in quote, from some descent or some tribe anymore. Amen. You don't have to be worried about your natural birth when it comes to salvation. Hallelujah. What you need to be concerned about is that you trust in the name of Jesus and you trust in what he has done. And you know that you don't have it and he has it. that whoever calls upon him, verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So you're not ashamed about your salvation. You're not embarrassed that you believed only in Jesus for salvation, that you called on only His name for salvation. You didn't call on some other name or look at any other fleshly credit, but that you just trusted in the name. Hallelujah. So that is not to be something that you're going to be ashamed of at all. In fact, you're going to be so excited that no matter what, you are in heaven. That salvation has happened. You have been given heaven. Glory to God. And that's powerful. If you just made it to heaven, if your names are written in heaven, Jesus said you can rejoice. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. That you've come to a mountain where your names are written. Hallelujah. And you can be joyful about it. Glory to God. Oh yeah. And so there are folks in heaven that are just excited right now. Amen. But they are still to see another level. Praise God. Where they're going to be honored forever. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's see if we can hear from verse 11 through to 13 out of Romans chapter 10.
ಆತನ ಮೇಲೆ ನಂಬಿಕೆ ಇಡುವ ಯಾವನಾದರೂ ನಾಚಿಕೆ ಪಡುವುದಿಲ್ಲ ಎಂದು ಬರಹವು ಹೇಳುತ್ತದೆ. ಇದರಲ್ಲಿ ಯಹೂದ್ಯರಿಗೂ ಗ್ರೀಕರಿಗೂ ಹೆಚ್ಚು ಕಡಿಮೆ ಏನೂ ಇಲ್ಲ. ಎಲ್ಲರ ಮೇಲೆ ಕರ್ತನಾಗಿರುವ ಆತನೇ ತನ್ನನ್ನು ಬೇಡಿಕೊಳ್ಳುವವರೆಲ್ಲರಿಗೆ ಐಶ್ವರ್ಯವಂತನಾಗಿದ್ದಾನೆ. ಕರ್ತನ ನಾಮದಲ್ಲಿ ಬೇಡಿಕೊಳ್ಳುವ ಯಾರಿಗಾದರೂ ರಕ್ಷಣೆಯಾಗುವುದು.
And then we can read 1 John 2:28. So why should any shame come much later after you're saved? You know, now writing almost the very last book, you know, in some form of chronological arrangement. The last book is Revelation, written by the same John. Now in 1 John 2, he says there's a chance of being ashamed. Why? Why should you be ashamed now? Well, because some things have to be settled, which is apart from your salvation. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So let's hear 1 John 2:28 also in Kannada.
Chikka makkale, Atanu pratyakshanaguvaga naavu Atana agamanadalli Atana munde nillalu naachike padade dhairyadindiruvante Atanalli nelegondirri.
Amen. So we have this thought here that we are not going to be put to shame. Glory to God. Because you're saved. Thank God for that. You're not going to be, judging that in any other way. I'm saved. Thank God for that. You can have a no-soul salvation. You can know that you're saved. Amen. Because you accepted what the grace of God gave to you. Hallelujah. And that is wonderful. And the rest of the shame is not because, you know, you're not saved, but it's because you know there's much more stuff that you could have gained. Hallelujah. You could have had eternal realms. Glory to God. Hebrews 6 verse 9 says, "But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed towards His name, in that you have ministered to yourself." No, to the saints. And do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of the hope to the end. Hallelujah. That you be not slothful, but be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. In other words, you're saved, but there are some things that could accompany your salvation, which have to do with ministering to His name, ministering to the saints. And don't give up, but don't be slothful. Just keep at it to the end. Hallelujah. You're saved. Thank God for that. But there are some, you know, things that should go with your salvation, which are worthy of doing in the scope of all eternity also. Hallelujah. Let's see if we can hear Hebrews chapter 6 from the 9th verse all the way to verse 11.
ಆದರೆ ಪ್ರಿಯರೇ, ಈ ರೀತಿಯಾಗಿ ನಾವು ಮಾತನಾಡಿದರೂ ನೀವು ಇದಕ್ಕಿಂತ ಉತ್ತಮವಾಗಿಯೂ ರಕ್ಷಣಕರವಾಗಿಯೂ ಇದ್ದೀರೆಂದು ದೃಢವಾಗಿ ನಂಬಿ ಅದ್ದೇವೆ. ನೀವು ಪರಿಶುದ್ಧರಿಗೆ ಉಪಚಾರ ಮಾಡಿದಿರಿ, ಇನ್ನೂ ಮಾಡುತ್ತಾ ಇದ್ದೀರಿ. ಈ ನಿಮ್ಮ ಕೆಲಸವನ್ನು ಇದರಲ್ಲಿ ನೀವು ಆತನ ನಾಮದ ವಿಷಯವಾಗಿ ತೋರಿಸಿದ ಪ್ರೀತಿಯ ಪ್ರಯಾಸವನ್ನು ಮರೆಯುವುದಕ್ಕೆ ದೇವರು ಅನ್ಯಾಯಸ್ಥನಲ್ಲ. ಅಂತ್ಯದವರೆಗೆ ನಿರೀಕ್ಷೆಯ ಸಂಪೂರ್ಣ ನಿಶ್ಚಯತ್ವಕ್ಕಾಗಿ ನಿಮ್ಮಲ್ಲಿ ಪ್ರತಿಯೊಬ್ಬರೂ ಅದೇ ಆಸಕ್ತಿಯನ್ನು ತೋರಿಸಬೇಕೆಂದು ನಾವು ಅಪೇಕ್ಷಿಸುತ್ತೇವೆ.
Glory to God. So we have something to hold in our hand. It's one actual meaning of that. That you didn't come just with salvation. You came with some other things in your hand. Accompanied baggage. Amen. Some stuff. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So we want to remember that God is not unrighteous to forget and overlook your labor and the love which you have shown for His name's sake in ministering to the needs of the saints, His own consecrated people, as you still do. That's Hebrews 6:10, but the Amplified. God does not forget it. He wants us to know that He's noting those things, and those are the things that accompany our salvation. So that we don't just come empty-handed. We're saved, but now we bring something also. We didn't bring things to be saved. We accepted what Jesus gave. We received what He gave. And now we bring things to Him, amen, that accompany our saved life, which He will honor us for. Hallelujah. Amen. And, you know, increase the heavenly joy activity. Praise God. Bring some souls. Bring some, you know, changed lives. Bring some lives that are grateful for you, that you considered them. And you even considered them maybe beyond yourself. Just to say it is so hard. Amen. Not that you're trying to get to heaven by doing that, but you're already guaranteed of what Jesus has done will take you to heaven. But you can honor God and be honored of God in eternity. Praise God. And so our thinking has changed, praise God, from just me, myself and I, to somebody else, and then considering them now more than ourselves. It's almost like, come on, this is a loser deal, man. Then Jesus is the biggest loser. Why do you think He has honor more than any other name? In heaven and earth and under the earth. Why? Because He supremely did this. Hallelujah. There's no argument about it. That He laid down His life for us. That there's no greater love than that. Hallelujah. Amen. And we are called to follow in that. Not because of some legalism, but because of pure motive. Amen. Pure motive. We are motivated by this nature. That same nature. And it has affected our thinking. And it has placed it in a very high place in our life. And this is what we want to do. Amen. And there is untold blessings and honor available, even that will go into eternity. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's go to the book of Revelation. You know, that's supposed to be the last of it all. Notice here, verse 20 of Revelation has, you know, something that Jesus seems to be on the outside knocking. And He's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to believers. Knock, knock. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's inside us. Don't worry about that. Amen. But there's a knock that you can hear in the midst of all the noise. Amen. That's the knock he's talking about. There's a sign that you know, ooh, it's him. There's so much knocking going on. We can be confused. And sometimes while you're preaching and studying the word, there's knocking going on. Amen. Hallelujah. And so he is the one seeming to want to enter our life into different compartments and depths of our life. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Amen. Praise God. I will give him some special kind of fellowship treat. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So this is, brought to us. But the previous verse is not so happy. Verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Oh, that's bad news. But why is he having to kind of adjust us and change us so that we can open the door because we can hear his voice? We can hear the knock, we can hear the signal, and we can know in the midst of all the noises and very noisy external that's happening, loud cries of the world, we hear him. Oh, it's him. He wants fellowship now. And you open up. Now he comes in and he says, I'll give you a treat of my fellowship. I'll sup with him and he with me. Amen. Why should he say, I will sup with him and then he with me? Yeah? Why? Why should he just say that it's not just one-sided? There's two sides. I will eat with you and you will eat with me. That means you're totally involved in all of this. Amen. It's not like, come and eat, come and eat. I've come to eat with you. But you're like, yes, I'm here, I'm going to eat with you. And you enjoy that experience. Hallelujah. Interesting thoughts. Now, keep that in mind and go to John. Again, this is written by John. Revelation is written by John. He has received some interesting thoughts there. Hallelujah. In the 14th chapter of John, he says there, notice verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Amen. You know, these kind of verses are not that easy sometimes. Hallelujah. God loves us, but he likes to fellowship with us. God loves us to a place that the height, the depth, the breadth, the length of that love is still to be understood. It's an infinite love. In the Old Testament, he says, with everlasting love, I have drawn you. Amen. Not because you loved me, but because I loved you. Not because you were so great, but you were the smallest of all tribes. Yet, I loved you. Praise God. Here, we are not wondering about his love for us. He loves us. We're trying to understand that. He that has my commandments and keeps them, it is he it is that loves me. This is the response of us now. How do you prove that you love me? By keeping his word. And that was the word we talked about last week, tereo. Means like a military kind of keeping of the word, that it is so valuable to you, you just guard it. That's the most important thing. It has become your treasure. Amen. And so you keep it, you keep it, you keep it. And then he shall be loved. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Amen. So I don't know what you could do with these kind of verses to tone them down a little bit, because somebody may not like it. Oh, you know, get all miffed up about it. That's not good. Huh? But I'm dearly loved and deeply loved and highly favored, and all that is true. Amen. It's love, 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 love. Yes. He loves me. Yes, Jesus loved me because the Bible said so, tells me so. It's true. He already demonstrated it. My response is what we're talking about. Amen. Hallelujah. If you love me, you will keep my word, is what he's saying. That will become most treasured. That's not the time to make excuses. That's the time to say, yes, I'm going to sit here. I'm going to listen to this. And then act on it. Listening is just one side. But it is seen that when you rise up in your value system for the word of God, that it has risen and risen and risen and risen. It has come above everything else. It has become more precious. Things change. Amen. It is the value that we have given to his word, which he calls command, because it's really not a request. But it seems like in the New Testament, it's all just requests. This mind should be yours. I request you. No, not really. Amen. He has empowered us with the mind of the Christ. He has given us these things already. But you can decide whether you want to go with it or not. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not that he's asking you to do something that you have not been empowered to do. Grace has given you the mind of Christ. Grace has given you the very life and nature of God. Grace has empowered us to live. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can do this. Amen. But then we have to receive it through all the superfluity of naughtiness and fleshly contradictions. Receive it and then act on it. Perform it. And there'll be crying. There'll be weariness about it. Why are you doing so much good? Why don't you think about yourself? Hallelujah. And you can stop and scratch your head there, and that's all right. Because it's not by force. That's what he means. You have to think about it and do it properly. You could get weary in well-doing. You may need to take a break and go think about it properly. Hallelujah. Judge these things properly and see, am I ready for all this? Amen. And so on and so forth. And then he manifests himself to him. That's the supper, I believe. We will come to your life. We'll come, the Father and me, and we will manifest ourselves there. Amen. All these verses are in the Bible, but we may choose not to read them. Look at verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. The same word again, tereo. I love you. Now this is your response. If you love me, you know, they make a big deal about unconditional love. Unconditional love. Unconditional love. Yes, God loves you unconditionally. Amen. But the response now is, do you love me? Amen. If you love me, keep my commandments. Guard over it as though it is so precious in your life beyond everything else. My word, my command. So these can be read and studied and appreciated, but then you act on it, it's a different level. But you may have to get through some superfluity of naughtiness, filthiness, that will come from the flesh and challenge you and say, "Why? What about your life? What about you? You're just going to end up the big loser." Amen. And that's sometimes, you know, that martyr cry. Look what I did. Nobody appreciated. You have to think about it a little bit and see. Even if nobody but the Father and the Son, by the Spirit, appreciates that, you did it because you know you're supposed to do it. It's a command.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And that's different. And God knows it's different. And He wants to honor you for it, for eternity, and enjoyment of His fellowship while you're at it. Is also there. And manifesting Himself to you is also there. I've come. What more do you want? Praise God. I'm here. Whatever you've been looking for, I am. I am that I am. Hallelujah. Whatever you're looking for, I'm that one. And so you can be all lit up, just floating on clouds of ecstasy. And people will be wondering why you're so highly, enraptured in this kind of atmosphere and glee and divine joy. What is this? This guy is having a different journey altogether. Why? Because the Lord has come into a place that maybe others have not opened up to Him, and he's having fellowship on a different level. Amen. And there's joy that's called full joy.
Glory.
Hallelujah. And he's just tripping away like that.
Glory.
Amen. And all these other voices and distractions are calling, knocking, wanting to break down the door even. But Jesus stands and knocks. If you hear my voice, you can open. The others are breaking the door down. But he said, "I'm still waiting. If you want me to come, we will come, we will sup with you and manifest ourselves to you." So when we think about the great love of God, yes, receive it. Receive it, receive it, receive it. After you receive with meekness all of that, then you act on it. You perform. You do it. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loveth me. That's verse 21 again. He that has my commandments, one, and keepeth them, two, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. What shall we do about that? We might as well strike this out. You mean that he doesn't love me already? Yes, he does. And I will love him also and then manifest myself to him. Amen. So I believe this is what you call the joy of the Lord. That you have some other kind of joy that is from heaven. That something has manifested in your life which is different. Amen. That you are just in a different place of fellowship. Amen. And this is our response. It's a fruit of our response. Amen. It comes because we responded to the love of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We need to be careful not to follow popular thinking, but to go with the Word of God, even from preachers. Amen. It may not be in line with the real truth of God's love. It may be sloppy or gappy. It may be greasy grace. Hallelujah. Instead of the true grace, which has to do with sincerity of the emotions. Sincere. Excellent. Hallelujah. And you may face challenges for all of this. Is there any profit in doing this? Look at what you're suffering. See how they're treating you. See what you get in return. You're the only one. Just go jump off a cliff. Nobody knows about this. But Jesus says, I'm taking note. I'll manifest myself to you. My Father and I will sup with you. Hallelujah. Amen. So we need to get it clear. We need to get it, you know, prayerfully clear. And that's what's important. Thank God for that. Let's see if we can hear John 14, verse 15, and then verse 21.
ನೀವು ನನ್ನನ್ನು ಪ್ರೀತಿಸುವುದಾದರೆ ನನ್ನ ಆಜ್ಞೆಗಳನ್ನು ಕೈಕೊಳ್ಳಿರಿ ನನ್ನ ಆಜ್ಞೆಗಳನ್ನು ಹೊಂದಿ ಅವುಗಳನ್ನು ಅನುಸರಿಸುವವನೇ ನನ್ನನ್ನು ಪ್ರೀತಿಸುವವನು ನನ್ನನ್ನು ಪ್ರೀತಿಸುವವನನ್ನು ನನ್ನ ತಂದೆಯೂ ಪ್ರೀತಿಸುವನು ನಾನು ಅವನನ್ನು ಪ್ರೀತಿಸಿ ಅವನಿಗೆ ನನ್ನನ್ನು ವ್ಯಕ್ತಪಡಿಸಿಕೊಳ್ಳುವೆನು ಎಂದು ಹೇಳಿದನು
Praise God. I highly recommend this. Otherwise, you're going to hit a place in Christianity where you go backwards. You will. But for longevity in Christ with divine results, this has to be.
Amen.
Amen. Otherwise, we will definitely go like the Hebrews. We will go backwards. We will regress. And he said, have you forgotten the scripture that says if the Father corrects you, it's because he loves you? Amen. They forgot. Some of the oldest scriptures in the Torah and so forth were containing that thought. Proverbs, Job. He said, have you forgotten that? That if God is correcting you, it's because he loves you? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So we don't want to, you know, fall into that trap. Let's go to Romans 14. By the number of views, you can tell who really likes this kind of message. But I highly recommend it.
Hallelujah.
This is not popular thinking. Have you wondered why Paul even mentioned Demas' name? I thought love won't mention the name. That it probably not be a good thing to say, this person forsook me. This person loved this present world. And mention his name. Wow, that's strong stuff. I guess Demas was a guy that he could say that about openly. Demas was expected to be at a place where he should not have lived like that. Why do you call his name in front of the whole universe? That even in Bangalore in 2024, they will know about him. Demas. And when we get to heaven, we believe he's there. We'll say, oh, you are that guy. This is Demas. This is Demas. Praise God. Have you thought about it? This is love. This was a correction to him. You love the present world. And I'm telling everybody. I'm telling everybody, he said. You love this present world. Of course, we won't do such things because that'll be the next level. We're not going to mention names and say anything. But we're just sharing what the word is saying. Hallelujah. Romans 14. Notice. Verse 12, so then let every one of us, or rather, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Talking to believers and everybody but believers. 13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. You don't want your brother to fall. So you make sure that you don't put something in front of your brother to make him fall. Amen. Well, Paul definitely judged some people. I would say that is a high place he had. That's Paul, but that's not me. Praise God. So we, as we begin to enjoy this place of love and concern for others above ourselves, we may get to a place where we say, I don't want them to fall, you know, so I'm not going to do this. I mean, I'm free. I can do anything. I'm free. But for their sake, I'm not going to do this. Because if they go like this, they could fall. Amen. And it usually comes because people decided that they were free to do it. And what's wrong with this? This is Bible. You can enjoy this. You can enjoy everything. It's written. All things are lawful for me. But not everything is going to edify. Amen. Amen. And you can have all the knowledge, but it can be carnal. Because it's the love that edifies. That's how you know that you know God. Not because you read all these books. But when you act on the word. Amen. I read books. I like to read books. I was taught that way. That you must read spiritual books by men who are of a certain cadre. Amen. In all you're getting, get wisdom. Get understanding. But you see, this is where it boils down to when the rubber meets the road. Do you really know him? Amen. He that loves me knows me. He that keeps my word loves me. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's all in there. And then you begin to say, I'm not going to make my brother stumble. If this thing that I'm doing will make him stumble, I don't want him to stumble. And so you begin to think that way. You can drive this car, you can wear that suit, but you could make your brother stumble. Because he will think that this is what it's all about. And if he doesn't have that, he has not really arrived. But that's not what it's all about. What it's all about actually is that you love others and give them position. And you can preach the wrong message even though you're not willfully wanting to preach that. But it's because you are looking around and saying, hi, this may offend my brother. This may hurt my brother. This may cause my brother to stumble. And some people, they got disillusioned because of that. And they didn't get the car that they wanted. They didn't get the house that they wanted. So they just bailed. And I believe they're saved. Amen? But this is the truth. That you're thinking not just about yourself. You're thinking about them. We have to stop. Let's worship him who's worthy. I think we have to hear this in Canada, Romans 14:13.
ಆದಕಾರಣ ಇನ್ನು ಮೇಲೆ ಒಬ್ಬರ ವಿಷಯದಲ್ಲೊಬ್ಬರು ಎಂದಿಗೂ ತೀರ್ಪು ಮಾಡದೆ ಇರೋಣ ಇದಲ್ಲದೆ ಸಹೋದರನ ಎದುರಿಗೆ ಅಡ್ಡಿಯನ್ನಾಗಲಿ ಎಡೆತಡೆಯನ್ನಾಗಲಿ ಹಾಕಲೇಬಾರದೆಂದು ತೀರ್ಮಾನಿಸಿಕೊಳ್ಳಿರಿ.
Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you that you are who you are, that you have not changed, and we are learning to esteem you above all else. And then we're learning to esteem one another. And then learning to esteem others even above ourselves. Wow, that's a high place. We ask you to help us with these prayers that we may choose the things that are excellent, of highest value. We worship you. 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 Help us to minister to your name. Help us to minister to the saints. Help us to not be weary in well-doing. Help us to do this properly, sincerely, that when we meet you that day, we will not be in any way ashamed, embarrassed, or blushing, red-faced, that we could have done better. Of course, there's always more, Lord. But help us to see these things more clearly. As we approach the last days, the very last, we worship you, 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 we worship you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, great King. We receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. If you'd like to give, this is a great opportunity, wonderful time that you and I have to, in His name, plant, act on the Word. And in His name, ministering to His name, give and live. And there's coming a good reward here and in the life to come. There is profit. You're blessed. Thank you, team. Hallelujah.
I've got the victory living inside of me. I've got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back. No place to go slack. I've got to keep pressing on till every battle is won. I've got the victory living inside of me. I got the greater.